Hello everyone, it is currently 4 o'clock. You are listening to No Source Needed. I'm currently by myself right now. I forgot to introduce myself. Hi, I'm Cian. I'm not good at doing this alone. So yeah, welcome back to No Source Needed. I am currently by myself because my wonderful co-host Alex Redmond has an exam, and that's unlucky for him. And it's quite funny, he was really hoping to it's a nice outlet, the radio. We love it, we do. But he has to be all academic and a bit of a wizard today, which he is all the time. So yeah, first off, I'm just going to play a few tunes. I asked on our Instagram any suggestions for things for me to talk about, because I'm very afraid to do this by myself for the whole hour, but hey, it is what it is. So first up, we're going to be playing Midas by Wonder Horse. It's their new single, came out last Wednesday. I've been waiting for this song to come out for so long. If you listen to our episode from a few weeks back, I was talking about how I adore this band, true and honest to God, I absolutely love them. First saw them when they were opening for Sam Fender back in Malahide Castle in June last year. And yeah, it was quite funny because I remember on the bus up to Malahide, I was there looking up like who was opening for him. I thought it was Holly Humberstone, who has opened for him a number of times, and she's amazing. I might play one of her songs later on, actually. But so I listened to about two albums by her, and lo and behold, it was not Holly Humberstone opening. It was Wonder Horse and Rachel Chinnariri. Both of which who I just adore very much and think that they're extremely talented. Rachel Chinnariri, I saw something on her Instagram. She was just with Florence Pugh. Like, there's a picture of them just like partying on, having a good time, which awesome. Who doesn't want to hang out with Florence Pugh? I know I do. Very, very much. Anyways, first song of the day. This is Midas by Wonder Horse. It's a short one, but it's a good one. Enjoy. Midas. That was Midas by Wonder Horse. My only complaint about that song, it's just too short. I wish it could go on for longer, personally. I truly love it. And yeah, because I remember when I first saw them, they only released a song last week, but they've been performing it for ages. They have a number of songs that they haven't released yet I've seen them live. I might have. Some of them I don't remember. I remember Midas, all right, because I remember they were talking about it and saying that they had just written it, and that is obviously very cool because, you know, I got to witness history. I hope, anyways, because I really, really think that those guys are going to get big. And they're already doing pretty well. I think it's somewhere, it's like 400,000 monthly listeners, 300,000, something like that. Yeah, they started off, they were opening for like Fontaine's and Haler, obviously Sam Fender, where I saw them. They're in the Olympia recently for Declan McKenna, which I was actually, I was half tempted to get like a last minute ticket to, but I think all that was left was like, you know, those like the seats like up high in the top balconies, and like for Wonder Horse, I can't be sitting. I gotta be standing, moving around for that. But yeah, no, that's they're a band that I've like I said, I'm glad I know them. Their first album, Cub, that was 2022, it came out, and they've been talking about new music kind of for the last number of months. I think they said it was kind of pre-festival season, which is a musician's way of saying summer, that they'll be releasing new tunes. And yeah, if they're anything like Midas, I say if they're anything like, I know what most of them are, their songs. I'm trying to think what ones don't they have released yet. I think it's they have a song called Arizona, Superman, Silver, Oprah Winfrey. I think I saw that live. That was pretty cool. I don't remember how half of them go. Literally, the only one I remember is Midas, weirdly enough. But yeah, because I think I remember right after the song came out, I saw a guy post a video of them playing Midas back in Malahide. And I was like, aha, hey, it's all coming back to me now. So yeah, trying to think now about these suggestions that could be coming in, or just the ones that have come in already. They are interesting, to say the least. I did use some fruity language in the in the Instagram post on the story, stuff I'm not allowed to say on the radio. Some of them are interesting. Alex Redmond, that I don't know who that is. He wanted me to talk about wrestling. Look, I'm a gigantic wrestling fan. I can't out myself like that fully. Even though I just did, but I can't do that like really on a live radio, can I? Dylan Trainer of The Sideline, he said, talk to me, no filters needed. I would love to go no filter, even though I don't think I have anything exactly filterless to say. I think I'm, not that I'm very filtered, I just think that I'm as I am, aren't I? Lavi and Rosie 3, who is currently sitting on the opposite side of the door doing some producer work, as she does, said, do a snog, marry, kill, but it's just different groups of UCC radio people. Now, here's the thing about that. I want to kiss everyone in this radio. Call me weird, but that's just how I roll. this is a strange one. Next song I'm going to be playing, it's means a lot to me. It's by a little band called Ether. If you're a listener to the podcast, you'll know we had them on. It consists of the amazing Chris Kett, the handsome, handsome Rob Cashman, and I'm pretty sure he's listening right now, so hi, Rob, and the extremely talented Show Tempest. It's really nice seeing my friends kind of get to do this. You know, Cork's music scene is, it goes without saying, doesn't it? It's one of those things that it will continue to be as just vibrant and enthusiastic as it is. It'll stand the test of time, I feel like, you know, some places are synonymous for their music, and I feel like Cork is a place that, especially of the last, you know, 5 years or so, like, that there are a lot of people who I think are really going to go far. So, yeah, one of them being a little band called Pebble Dash with, I heard someone say that he's nominated for hottest host and favorite producer and best DJ and most controversial somehow. Cormac O'Donovan O'Neill of UCC 98.3, who has recently been inducted into Pebble Dash as their amazing keys player and does some amazing backup vocals, which he will never admit to. He was like, oh, it sounded awful. I'm just like, shut your mouth, Cormac. You're amazing. And I hope you know that. Anyways, I started this tangent about my friend's band. But like I said, Cork's music scene, it's a special thing, all right. And here's an example of that. It is Nocturnal by Ether. Enjoy.
Stay away, you're in my way, and I keep it in.
And that was Nocturnal by Ether. Wasn't it great? Wasn't it just awesome? I loved it. Chris, the lead singer, he's one of those people who he will never say it, but he's very passionate, and I appreciate him, and I can really see that with his music. You know, we were recording some stuff not too long ago, and he just kind of looked at me and goes, I love music, man. And I was like, that's the most wholesome thing I've ever heard in my entire life. So yeah, big ups to Chris on that one. So following on to these suggestions, this one came from Robin. He asked me something about, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this account on the radio, but basically it's known for, I don't want to say gossip, that sounds a bit like kind of hearsay or whatever. Let's just say people get very confessional on it. And the admin of that page has announced that they're no longer going to be doing it after this year. And yeah, you'll see there, I think there's been like one or two other accounts who've created a similar thing. Like they have their own Google forms and posting about that. And to which, like, I mean, look, I can imagine that it's probably difficult, to say the least, to keep that up. Because, like, look, if you are keeping your identity sealed and being like an avenue for people to just express their deepest, darkest secrets, sometimes you really see and read some interesting stuff about it. And you're always hoping that one of them's about you. We know, and someone's talking about, oh, you know, there was that guy who he was walking out of the pool, and I couldn't help but just stare at his, you know, beautiful blue eyes. He was wearing a blue Levi's jacket, dark jeans, and red Doc Martens. I mean, that's what I hope gets that's what I hope gets posted on UCC Confessions anyway. I don't know. Okay, whatever, excuse me. But yeah, no, I mean, I can imagine that there is something of a, it would be stressful, wouldn't it? Like, especially because, like, everyone's like, oh, you're gonna do this big reveal afterwards. And I was kind of like, that is so not their issue that you want to know who it is. Like, there's a number of people who do know, just like, I can imagine it's the admin's close friends and stuff like that. But just let them live their life. Let them be who they want to be. And if they don't want to be that account anymore, then c'est la vie, you know? Just, I don't know. People are strange sometimes. But yeah, to anyone who is currently trying to create their own version of it, I mean, hey, fair play. Because, yeah, seems stressful. That's a lot of followers, too. Let me check how many accounts follow it, because, like, it's been, as far as I'm aware, it's been around for about 4 years or so, and yeah, like 11,000, yeah, like nearly 12,000 followers, like, over, and that is over the course of, yeah, I'm pretty sure about like 3 or 4 years at this point. I mean, as long as someone's degree might be, anyways. Yeah, and it's just fair play to her. I'm saying her because she has her pronouns on the account, so. I would assume that's true. what am I on about? Looking at who they follow. Do they follow No Source Needed? Nope. And you know what? That's fine. I'm not even worried about it. There's two other radio shows that they do follow, but I'm sure they're great people. They actually are. They really are. Do I need to say it? I don't know. It's Two Gays Under and Soul Soup, all of which are just wonderful human beings. So, am I name dropping too much? Chat, am I name dropping too much? Alex would actually kill me if he was listening to this right now, if he wasn't doing like an exam. Who knows, maybe this is like his like white noise while he does macroeconomics. Who knows, but yeah, anyways, getting back onto these suggestions. So a certain Dan Mulca, Dan Mulholland 18 said, a rushed wedding's the best. For example, less than 6 months. I presume that's 6 months from meeting each other and then having, is that engagement or wedding? If it is a case of wedding, I mean, hey, go for it, lads. There's nothing like a good story that'll come with it, you know? It's quite funny. I feel like there is something that maybe fuels hopeless romantics everywhere, is that they've just seen a certain story like that and it has just kind of stayed with them. Like, I know someone who their parents got engaged after 6 weeks of going out, and like, at first, yeah, that probably seems like quite bizarre or whatever. Hey, it's Connor Lavin, god I love him. He's blown me a kiss. Oh, I love that man. But what was I talking about? yeah, so at first, yeah, it seems pretty weird. Like people getting married after, or people getting engaged 6 weeks into going out. But like that person, their parents, I mean, they've been together for, I want to say close to 30 years at this point. I think that their oldest sibling is 25. And I've had two more kids since that. Like, yeah, no, they're doing very well. And I find that interesting, you know, because everyone has their own stories that they kind of attach to their beliefs, and everyone has their reasons for thinking a certain thing. Like, you know, being a hopeless romantic, you know, me and Alex have talked about it a few times, and it is something, it can be a bit of a gut puncher at times, but you can't help it, you know, genuinely. You can't help being a certain way, feeling a certain way. And yeah, there's nothing wrong with it, guys. Be romantic. Be hopeless. It's beautiful. It really is. Sometimes, you know, the best medicine to a broken heart is just more love. And with that, this next song is Medicine by Mama. Enjoy!
Thank you.
Okay, and that was Medicine by Mama. That's a lovely song, genuinely. They're a great band as well. Kind of a similar vibe to Wonderhorse, as they were described to me, and I definitely see it more so in their song Biohazard, which I would play, but it's explicit, and I don't know how to censor bad words. I barely struggle to do that with myself, so... Yeah, definitely give them a look if you get a chance. That was actually suggested. That band was brought up to me by one Chris Kett of Ether. Oh my God, this is just the Ether episode all over again. Yeah, that was a fun episode. We talked about cookies and penguins and just a rake of other fun stuff. And you know what? I think I'm going to address it again, the whole cookie debacle. Look, okay, was it... In hindsight, was it a nice thing for Alex to do, especially given the fact that I was maybe having having a bad day or whatever, but it's also a matter of just kind of like, it was just so out of left field where it's like, okay, I'm just sat there, whatever, at the Natural Foods Bakery down in Fitzpark. I'm drinking my flat white. I'm in a mood. I'm not in a mood. It was whatever. Just kind of sat there. It's fine. And I meet Alex. He's like, all right, I'm just going to go in for a coffee there. I was like, yeah, chill. I stay outside, I was sitting on a bench, you know, it's a nice day, taking in the views and what have you, doing a bit of people watching as I enjoy, and he comes up behind me, just goes, gotcha, cookie, and I was just like, what? Excuse me? And he was like, what, I just got you a cookie, and I just kind of looked at him, and I was just kind of like, are you being for real right now? And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, the amount of times that me and Jude have said that you are Schmidt from New Girl. And like for reference, me, myself, Jude and Alex, we always try and draw parallels from ourselves to fictional characters because that's just fun to do. It's fun to typecast yourself. And the one show that all of us have seen kind of all throughout, well, one of them anyways, I think there's probably a few more that we just haven't realized, but it was New Girl. And obviously, three of the lads in it, Nick Winston and Smith Winston. I messed up my funny pronunciation of an S there. Nick Winston and Schmidt, we can very easily sort of attach those sort of archetype of characters to our little trio. Jude being Winston because he's as he's as wacky and goofy as anything else. Me as Nick because I'm grumpy and cynical and just I want to be a writer deep down, and Alex is Schmidt because he just is. There's no I don't even need to get into it. Like, if you have watched New Girl and you've listened to the show before, you know he's Schmidt. He's so Schmidt. And obviously one of the best episodes was when Nick and Schmidt get into this argument because Schmidt buys Nick a cookie and he's like, why'd you buy me a cookie? And he's like, oh, I was just thinking about you. And that's when I tell you, that is word for word what Alex said to me. He goes, oh, just thinking about you, like. And I was like, are you, what is wrong with you? And he was like, what? And then it finally clicked to him and he just kind of broke down laughing because he realized that he is he's fictional is the only way to put it sometimes. Sometimes, Alex Redmond, you are fictional. You are made up. I cannot make sense of how you are real every now and again, in good ways as well. I'll put that in there because you know what? He's a good old skin him. And it was just this whole thing. I was like, look, it's funny that we can attach ourselves to these characters, but like, we shouldn't, we shouldn't actually be this way. And then, you know, let alone recreate moments from famous episodes of that show. And yeah, it was just, it just caught me off guard and I didn't know what to do about it. And, funnily, Rob Cashman, to bring him up again, I think was it the year anniversary of Underground Loft, which is on this Thursday in the Liberty Bar at 8 PM. Be there, be square. It's going to be a good one. I hosted the last one there 2 weeks ago. It was great fun. There was a girl there from the Current Lee Festival, if anyone listening is aware of that. It was a very special arts festival happening. This was in the Opera House. I think there was other events kind of maybe spread out around the place, but a lot of it was in the Opera House. And there was an open mic segment hosted by Jason J. Fisher at Words by JJF on Instagram. Give him a follow. He is amazing. You will actually likely see him if you do go to the Underground Loft. He's also quite... quite fond of going to Sling Slang in Maureen's. I think it's, I forget, I think it's like the fourth Monday of every month or something like that. It's all, it's all very hard to remember. And then good old O'Vale in the Long Valley Bar. Do not even ask me when that is, because that is even like more particular. I think like the, again, like the third Friday or something. I'm bad. I go to one poetry night in Cork. I really should go to more. But yeah, the Underground Loft on this Thursday at 8 p.m. in the Liberty Bar. It's great. You'll see me there. You'll see the wonderful regular host, Ciarán Shanahan, the great mind behind it all, and a number of other great poets. So I highly recommend it. Go give it a look. But nevertheless, as I was saying, I was at the year anniversary of the Loft, and one, Robert Cashman, as mentioned, he just kind of came up to me. And now, Chris had said to me earlier in the week, be like, oh yeah, someone's giving you a present at the Loft. I was like, don't say that. Don't say that to me. That's terrifying. I don't enjoy it. I don't like surprises. Please, God. No. And what it was Rob coming up to me with a cookie. And I'm just like, okay, for one, me and Alex were just like by ourselves. They're just in a, you know, a regular setting at a outside a cafe in Fitz Park. You know, it's nothing overly, you know, public or anything like that. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of public, but no one, it was just the two of us, I guess, you know? And I obviously reacted in the way I did, and he found it completely irrational, and maybe in hindsight it is. But Rob thought the same, but he thought this was an excellent opportunity to just buy me a cookie and give it to me in front of many people who I'm very friendly with at the Loft, as I have been friendly and friends with them for over a year now. And he was just, it was him and another person who goes to the Loft, Adam Jerry, a very talented musician, rapper, poet, filmmaker, literally everything he does. They just kind of looked at me and was like, eat the cookie, Cian. And I was like, I don't want to eat the cookie. They said, no, eat it. And I was like, I don't want to eat it. They're like, no, you eat it right now. You put that in your mouth right now. And I was just, hey, pause. you eat that cookie right now. And then I was just forced to eat half a cookie, just like, begrudgingly, very angrily. And it was cold too. All right, I'll say it. I didn't like it. I did not like the cookie. Maybe I'm bad. Maybe I'm the problem. Maybe I am. I don't know. But yeah, so a bit of background anyways into the whole cookie debacle of No Source Needed. Another suggestion that came in from one Jude McCrossan. I bet he sounds funny. He said, what are the best bears? This is an interesting one because little backstory about Jude and bears. Last year, the two of us, we were both in English, and in our tutorials, we had to do presentations. And that could have been about anything kind of like relevant to the course, any like, you know, literary theories that were getting touched upon. But in his class, because we were in different classes, they were allowed to do a mock one. And basically, Jude's presentation, his mock presentation was why he could beat, I think it was the brown bear in a fight. And it was just all very, very, I hate to say it, but convincing. It was like, so I think one of his main arguments was that like, oh yeah, well like, they're quite slow, I'm very fast, and I'm like quite agile and stuff. I was just like, bears aren't slow, they can climb up trees, man. And, but Jude was hell-bent on it, and like, he gave like the average height of a brown bear, which is like 7 foot, 8 feet tall. And Jude goes, well, I'm like 6'5". So I think, you know, realistically, it probably evens out, especially when they're on all fours. I'm just like, well, Jude, you're not 6'5". You're an average, strong 5'10" like myself. And now, don't get me wrong. He did have one final closing argument that nearly would, again, it would actually make you believe him. And it's brilliant because, I mean, when you're thinking about bears anyways, and other creatures with a certain sleeping pattern, Jude was just like, hey, they sleep for half the year. That's a lot of time that I can strike. Or, but that wasn't even, now that I think of it, that wasn't even Jude's biggest thing about it. Because a bear sleeps for half the year, that's time that he can train for the fight. He wants to have a full-on brawl with a bear and is convinced that he can win it. Like, there's delusion and then there's Jude-dusion, whatever you want to say about that. Yeah, Jude, you are a special creature anyways. But the best bears, I don't know. I like pandas, both black and white and red. They're just cool, aren't they? You know, they be doing kung fu and stuff four times. And do you remember there was like a Nickelodeon series of Kung Fu Panda? Didn't have Jack Black in it, obviously, because he's like too expensive for Nickelodeon, probably. And yeah, it was just yeah, what a strange selection of films. Great, absolutely fantastic. Don't get me wrong. First one, amazing. I heard that they actually had to change in early screenings. They had to change the villain of the first Kung Fu Panda movie because they actually made him too relatable, which I think is a hilarious issue to come up with in a creative process where you're trying to, you know, depict a villain, the villain being evil and bad, and you know, you have your very worthy antagonist in that, and when you are writing a character as such. But apparently it came to Mafra's being like, look, Tai Long is actually class. We like him. We really do like him. You need to make him more evil. You need to make him dislikable. And so they did, but he's still the best. He's still the greatest. Anyways, bears. Yeah, what other ones are cool? Did you ever see that bear from, like, I don't know, like, kind of, maybe, like, they're all extinct now, but it was like the short-faced bear or something like that. They would stand more on all fours, but they were kind of, no, stand more on all fours. They'd stand more like on their like hind legs. They were like 9 feet tall. I sound like Joe Rogan right now. I'm talking about bears and fighting them and all this other stuff. Yeah, this is an interesting segue that the episode has come to. But anyways, best bears, I'll let you decide. I'm going to be sit on the fence on the issue. And with that, let's go on to the next song. Next song coming up is Howden Aldi Desk Cube by Sam Fender. This is one that he talked about when he was writing it. It was kind of in the midst of the first lockdown. And if you kind of remember when everyone was lighting up outside shops, you know, just to get like toilet paper and hand sanitizer and, I don't know, tinned foods as Rosie likes to keep in her possession at all times because she's preparing for an apocalypse. And yeah, he saw something on Facebook and it was just some guy who took a picture of like this massive queue of people outside an Aldi, and he just captioned Howden Aldi Death Cube, and I thought that's pretty cool, and it's a great song. It's actually a song that I remember there was a mosh pit to at his concert, to which when I tell people there was a mosh pit at a Sam Fender concert, they're like, huh? I'm like, look, I know he's the guy who did 17 Going Under and is basically just like, my sister just revealed to me that he just does pop, doesn't he? It's indie pop, you know. I wanted to call him like, you know, like rock or whatever, sound cool and tough or whatever. It's easy. The guy does pop, but I love it. But this isn't pop, this is something else. It's Howdy Elden Death Cube by Sam Fender. Enjoy. That's less than 2 meters, and yeah, that was a very bad Geordie impression that I just did. Yeah, no, that was a great song, but I remember doing that mosh pit there because I think he did it right after Spice, which is another song of his that a lot of people like to mosh to. And believe you me, I am not prepared for a mosh pit at any time. Never will I ever be. And I was in the gym the week beforehand, and I tore my pec. So I would say not as able-bodied as I was used to being at the time. My left arm was more or less out of commission. And it was quite romantic, actually, because at the end of Spice, you know, in that big mosh pit, I'm just kind of like holding on to like my left shoulder and like kind of like left chest region, just being like, okay, just be gentle with people. They're not going to be gentle with you, but don't give them any reason to, you know, apply any extra force. And I did that, like, you know, like a good mosher. And at the end of Spice, me and this one guy, we just kind of caught each other at the same time, and just we looked into each other's eyes, and I looked at him, I was just like, hey, you all right? And he was like, yeah, I am all right. Are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I am. And then he started playing out an LD death cue, and I was like, oh God, I have to do that again. And obviously, like the studio version, what it's like, the literally like under 2 minutes is how the LD death cue, I think, yeah, Spice, the live version of that, like, you know, like the live versions that always go on longer. So when he's playing it live, you know, they're doing like crazy solos and stuff at the end of it, and like it's like another, like, I think it was like 10 minutes of just straight getting pushed around and just being like, I just want to be safe. That's all I want, is to be safe and just not get hurt. But, and I didn't, to be fair. So big ups that guy for catching me, and, you know, nearly thought I was gonna kiss him at one point. I just like kissing people. Ain't that right, Rosie? She can't hear me. Anyways, next song up, we're going to be playing Helicopter by Block Party. It's one of those ones that is just always a good song, isn't it? It's just amazing. It's Block Party. Can you go wrong? No, you can't. So this is Helicopter by Block Party. Enjoy!
Running on.
Helicopter, helicopter, that was Helicopter by Block Party.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anyone on this planet who could possibly dislike Block Party. Yeah, that's all there is to that. The next suggestion that we had was from Ashling of Soul Soup. Thank you very much for this, Ashling. She said, oh, how about existentialism? Very light topic for, 43 minutes past four on a Tuesday. Okay, I need to know something right now, or at least just let you ponder this yourself. Is 4 o'clock the evening or afternoon? Because I've wondered that for quite some time. And it's something that has bothered me. Because, I don't know, if I'm trying to say, like, oh yeah, I do No Source Needed. This is a radio show from 4 to 5 o'clock every Tuesday afternoon, evening. I don't know, okay? It's the difficulty of telling time, I guess. What's the latest that you think is, like, appropriate for learning how to tell time? Because I think... same with tying shoelaces. I remember, I learned how to tie my shoelaces when I was like 9. No, I was younger. 7. Yeah. I think I was 7. Then I forgot for a while. I just forgot how to tie my own laces, which is like hilarious. I had no reason to tie. I think I had like a pair of like, I think I just had a pair of like kind of canvas, you know, like the old school Vans that have like kind of like a checkered thing on it. I might've had a pair of those. I really can't remember what my foot game. Nope. Don't say that. What my shoe game was like when I was 8, but it's decent enough nowadays. Like I said, Red Doc Martens. Anyone who wears Red Doc Martens are awesome. I'm talking to you, Rob. Yeah, no. I don't know. What is an appropriate age to learn how to tell time and or tie your shoelaces? Let me know. But yeah, let's look at existentialism for a second, I guess. This is on Britannica. The nature of existentialist thought and manner. According to existentialism, existence is always particular and individual. Always my existence, your existence, his existence, her existence. What am I on about? I have a philosophy test tomorrow that I really should be studying for, but hey, is what it is. Had a presentation today, actually. It went really well. I was very proud of myself after it. I knew I did well because my lecturer goes, super stuff, Kian. And I was just like, sick. But, yeah, I have a philosophy test tomorrow. Not on existentialism, it's about violence and war. So that should be a fun evening anyways. Anyways, yeah, existence is primarily the problem... What? Existence is primarily the problem of existence, i.e. its mode of being. It is therefore also the investigation of the meaning of being. Okay, wow, I understand why people don't take philosophy. I have philosophy because I study politics, and that is just kind of part and parcel of it. You do philosophy modules when you study politics and arts anyways. And so many like reuses of words. It's like, there's so many numbers. Okay, I'm glad I don't study off Britannica anyways, because this is anal, to say the least. Yeah, there's so many numbers, and like, yeah, it's like according to existentialism, and then it's like all this list of things that are according to existentialism. Number 4, I don't care about 3, because those possibilities are constituted by the individual's relationship with things and with other humans, comma, existence is always being in the world, dash, i.e. in a concrete and historically determinate situation that limits or conditions choice. What? Huh? What? Like... What are you chatting, man? Absolute waffle from you. So yeah, Ashling, that was existentialism. Hope you enjoyed that. Thanks for the suggestion. Yeah, no. Also, I realized that Rosie can't hear a single word that I'm saying because she's trying to get the radio in the at her desk to work, and apparently it's just static. And that's not fun. Or maybe if you really have a serious disdain for the sound of my voice, maybe static is better than that. And for that, I apologize. But, you know, it's not healthy to carry that much hate in your heart. And it's only you, isn't it? That's the next song. It's Only You, Isn't It? By Lissy Truly. God, I had a feeling I'd mess up her name. Lissy Truly, it's amazing. I heard this song for the first time in Saints Row 3. If anyone ever played the Saints Row games, and specifically the third one, I love you, and you deserve the best. Literally, you deserve the best things. It's only you, isn't it?
It's only you, isn't it?
So and it's good. Only Alex. He just came in for the last 10 minutes. How'd your test go? All right, fair enough. Yeah, I would ask you how you are, but like, I've been talking to you all day.
It's just been a week, but
it's Tuesday. Tuesday was the longest week of your life,
okay,
man.
Okay, do you remember last week when I said everything was good?
Yeah.
No, I'm fine. It was a tough L week last week because of work and stuff, and it was...
Shut up! Work is not going well. Work and stuff, huh? Yeah, we all have that. I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, at work, pretty nice, to be honest.
But yeah, no, I've been missing you. There's been one or two moments. To be fair, these suggestions are actually... They did come in clutch.
I carried a few.
I've kind of covered all of them. I covered up until... okay, this next one, which I've is from a little account called UCC98.3, saying, your application for next UCC radio studio producer.
I might need it.
My application, you don't need it. My qualifications, all of them.
What ones have you read now?
Everything up until existentialism.
No.
I did actually talk about it for a little while. It was kind of funny.
The effect of... No.
Yeah, definitely not that one. The political and economic state of the world right now. Bad. If there was a fart noise that I could put right now, I'd probably use that. Yeah. Or I would just fart myself, but I can't do it. I can't do it on command.
To be on the radio today, so this is like a nice little 10 minutes. So what do you want to talk about?
I don't know. I've kind of been yapping there for a little while.
Yeah, how'd you get on without me?
I don't know. I've been having a fine time. It's literally just waffle. Like, you just...
You do. There's not a lot to it, is there? Oh, yeah. Tomorrow...
A lot less pressure on it, you know?
Tomorrow, have you mentioned the radio awards?
I mentioned that other people have got nominated for some, but I haven't mentioned any of...
Okay, I'm going to nominate our nominations, because we swept the categories, if I'm being honest.
Yeah,
here.
Rosie asked me, she was like, how many nominations did you get earlier? And I was just like, several.
Rosie, I know you're upset you didn't get nominated for anything, so you can have one of our awards if you win.
Oh, best social media, to be fair.
Best social media. I think we have that down. Like, our hot takes and tips of the week. Like,
it's a bit like...
I'm not gonna lie. Oh, it's bad. It's so bad.
We don't like... we started using TikTok like 3 weeks ago.
Okay, lads. Hottest host. I have a bit of contention with this one.
Woo!
Ian Walsh, sitting across from me, the 6 out of 10 embodiment of a man, got nominated for Hottest Host, and I campaigned for it. So I'm thinking corruption.
It ain't corruption, bro. It's fact.
Corruption within UCC Radio.
It's real. It exists.
I'm so angry. So, just more that you got it and not me, you know?
Yeah, I
figured. If none of us got it, it's fine. Like, it's just a little joke at the end of the day. But the fact you got nominated. You.
All right, don't make it like that. But, you know, it's all a bit of fun, isn't it?
We have
a little award ceremony going
on
tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That'd be nice.
That'll be fun. Yeah, no. What do I have tomorrow? I got that test, I got work, and then I have... our wonderful, wonderful awards night.
Yeah, tomorrow I have a day where I don't have to do anything but have to do a lot, if that makes sense.
Oh, I feel you, butter.
Yeah, so I can't wait just to, like, have something nice like that at the end of it.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And it's semi-formal, so I can't wait to dress all semi-formal.
Yeah, what are we going to wear?
I'm
thinking semi-formal, so we wear top half tux, bottom half shorts.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the definition of
a semi. That is semi-formal.
That is the definition of a semi. What are you laughing at?
Did you miss me?
It's grand, like. I was talking to you all day.
Just smiling at you, being like, oh, he must have missed me while he was in here for the past hour.
It was fun enough, you know, because it's weird when, like, you're just allowed to talk to yourself. For 50 minutes, I was allowed to just speak my thoughts. I was reading off the thing. I looked up Royal Britannica's definition of existentialism. My is it waffle. Absolute waffle, my man.
Yeah.
It's just complete reuse of words, and like, I'm not bigging it. I've been playing some good tunes too. You wanna know what was the second song I played, Alex?
What?
Oh, it was only Nocturnal by Ether on Spotify now. Listen to it.
Listen to it, guys. It's brilliant.
It's so good.
Most controversial, Alex and Kian out of tune. That's a controversial little thing right there, isn't it?
Yeah, getting our names wrong, getting our show wrong.
I think that was on purpose.
I know, yeah. Big up out of tune, lads. Big up ye.
Most controversial, Alex and Kian. Are we that controversial, really?
I think I'm grand.
Like, besides our first episode, we didn't say anything that controversial, and that was more controversial on your end anyway, just about you. You know?
What controversial about my mother having leukemia at one point? What's controversial about that, Alex? Huh?
I didn't say that was controversial.
Is that what you're talking about?
Saying it was like an out-of-pocket statement.
Do you need a song break, do you?
Oh, there's no time. Let's just keep talking.
Oh, God. But,
yeah, maybe we are. I think we're...
Nah, we're great.
We're controversial in the fact that we probably annoy the producers a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine, because, like, I mean, these wonderful producers that have the misfortune of...
Trevor Semester 1, we didn't email, we just walked in and asked questions.
Yeah, for very emailable things.
Yeah, we learned our lesson eventually.
Yeah, and, like, or just, like, whatever issues that you have, if they don't need to be emailed, they're probably not there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like... We're not going to win most... I think we're going to win most iconic duo, though.
I think most iconic duo, we got funniest, best current affairs show.
Yeah.
God, you interview Michal Martin once, and then we're just typecasted, I guess. But,
are we current affairs? I suppose if you call it... What do we talk about, really? Like, mental health? Is that current? Yeah, always.
Yeah, I guess so. I always get asked what we talk about, and I'm just kind of like, I don't know.
What's your podcast about? Anything.
Anything and everything. And they're like, oh, that's so vague. I'm like, how about you shut your stupid mouth? And normally it works because people don't know how to deal with that. I wouldn't know how to deal with that. That's why I like to be the perpetrator and not the receiver. More than one way.
Sorry,
this is Atlantic City by Bruce Springsteen. It's been a good show.
I've had
some fun here, but Alex, I'm glad you were able to pop in for a small bit.
It's
so
great to always be here. This has been No Source Needed with Kian.
With Kian.
Yeah, I hope he didn't ruin it too much.
Sure, you can listen back in a week's time.
I'm not gonna.
We're gonna finish off today with Atlantic City by Bruce Springsteen. This is one of those just feel good songs. Makes me feel good. Does what it says on the tin. So yeah.
Enjoy.
Will they blow up the chicken man in Philly last night? Now they blew up his house too. Down on the boardwalk they're getting ready for a fight. Gonna see what them racket boys can do. Now they're state, and the DA can't get no relief. Gonna be a rumble out on the promenade, and the gambling commission's hanging on by the skin of its teeth. Well, now everything dies, baby, that's a fact. Maybe everything that dies someday comes back. Put your makeup on. Last night I met this guy and I'm gonna do it.